can't dislike you. But Bob will tell you this. You haven't got long before you all try to kill yourselves. Because you're crazy. And you can project it back at Bob. Bob is only what lives inside of each and every one of you.
Hi, I'm not Dora the Explorer. I'm QAnon Karen. I'm different from Dora the Explorer because I'm God's color. White. This is my sidekick, Bunny the Rabbit. Say hello, Bunny.
Hashtag Donald Trump.
Dora the Explorer has a monkey sidekick, but not me because I come from Kentucky and not some shithole country. Oh, kids, can you count to 11? Well, how about counting to 11 million? Can you do that?
Hashtag stop the steal.
Because that's how much Trump beat Biden by in the 2020 election, but the Dominion voting machines were rigged by Hugo Chavez and the Zionists and the Chinese government to take down the God-fearing votes of the 90 million Christian Americans who voted for Donald Trump.
Hashtag sheep no more.
Look up in the sky. Do you see a star? No, you don't. Because stars aren't real. They're just a deep state psyop that's designed to control you.
Hashtag lies.
Who's trying to control you? Just follow the money. Just follow the money trail. We're talking Bill Gates.
Hashtag agenda.
We're talking George Soros.
Hashtag Rothschilds.
We're talking Hillary Clinton.
Hashtag Hillary for prison.
MTV's Dan Cortez.
Hashtag save the children.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Hashtag Hail Satan.
And other Jewish people.
Hashtag save the children.
They're trying to mind control you. That's why the masks are there. That's not helping anyone. It's all a conspiracy. A conspiracy to implant chips into your bloodstream so they can know where you are. Jewish space lasers.
Thank you. greatest dancer in the world in your face.
Recording star had the number one record in England for more weeks than any singer in history, even Elvis and the Beatles. And now, for the first time on American TV, we proudly offer the fabulous hits of Slim Whitman, the man voted number one international male artist in England 4 years in a row. Here is all the magic of Slim Whitman, the international star who has sold 31 million records.
Vaya con Dios, my darling.
All the songs that touch people's hearts the most are in this album, and I hope you'll let them touch your heart too.
Have I told you lately that I love you?
Whitman, All My Best. This giant record treasury is only $7.98. Complete tape collection is only $9.98. Not sold in any store. Order yours now.
To get this beautiful treasury, mail $7.98 for album, $9.98 for 8-track tape to Slim Whitman. Box 2525, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. Be sure to do it now. This special Slim Whitman collection is available through this offer only. Rush $7.98 for album, $9.98 for tape to Slim Whitman. Box 2525, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017. Slim Whitman, Box 2525, Grand Central Station, New York, New York, 10017.
Dr. Frankenstein was my father. But you can call me whatever you want. As long as it's not, oh, hideous monster! Hideous monster! See you next week.
You're 3 hours late!
Dad, you don't understand. The car was busted, so we had to shred.
Why your lips red? Were you eating a snow cone?
That's a really good guess.
What kind of adults rollerblade?
The police are here, and they're saying that you bought alcohol for minors.
Thanks, boys!
In Europe, the drinking age is like 10.
They could have been European.
What made you think they were European?
They had a certain je ne sais quoi. I think one of them was eating pain au chocolat.
Guys, everyone thinks we're losers, but that's about to change. I know where the treasure of Foggy Mountain is.
From when we were kids?
We are looking at $100 million.
$100 million?
It'd be like, I mean, I know it's more than this, but at least $1 million each.
Significantly more.
What are we waiting for?
The cute guys that came in earlier,
I didn't see nobody cute.
The ginger looked like a colonial ghost. Glasses looked like Tim Burton drew him. And then the short one, we probably wore the same size bra.
They had a treasure map with like an X on it.
We gonna steal that map.
That is a full-on hawk.
Hey, buddy.
Reverse it! Reverse the road!
Does it not know it can fly?
Why did it walk away with an attitude? Everyone is after this treasure.
We deserve that.
You deserve it?
Yeah.
Three white guys whose biggest issue is what? Growing up?
It's not. I feel like it's more nuanced than that.
You just hit a woman.
I apologize for him. I, for one, would never. Oh my God. So I've hit one woman.
That's not in the grand.
Welcome, new friends.
We can all agree this is a scary cult and we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're in a docuseries and this is episode two.
Dude, yes. Completely.
Yep. Insane night. Guys, why are we tied up?
I'd rather die than live without you boys.
Holy! Oh, what are you?
Guys, look.
Dude, that's the treasure door.
Open it.
What's that? I'm gonna be sick. I'm gonna be sick to my stomach.
Forget the money. It's not worth it.
Storytime with Mei Lin, a one-of-a-kind, hyperactive and interactive blend of adult stand-up comedy and children's story time, because you're never too old for a good story. Mei Lin is going on tour in 2024, and after much deliberation, they have chosen the following wildly original name for their tour: Storytime with Mei Lin on Tour, a one-former man show. Brought to you in part by Spite. Don't miss your chance to see her on tour before Republicans ban her, just like they're busy banning all history books, and, for that matter, books. For more information on Mei Lin, like, I don't know, try Google maybe, or Bing if you're a weirdo. Hey, is Ask Jeeves still a thing? Probably not. Oh well. Storytime with Mei Lin.
And we're back with more of the Pope on Film.
It's time, buddy.
It's time. Yes, it is time.
Yes, Bunny, my friend,
it is time.
Time.
That's this what is... time it is.
Hey,
it's the time. Time.
Hey, Twitch, check out these honking boobagers. Can't believe people aren't tuning in because of these. But anyway, I'm a little bit upset about it, but that's fine. Yes, Bunny, my friend, it is time once again for all of us here at the Pope on Film Studios live. Right here in beautiful, sunny downtown Fallujah. It's time for all of us here to electric slide our way into the second half of our big shoe. And it is said second half wherein we finally, ineventually, my wife hates that word, get around to discussing our all-new 12 horsepower, 500 cat power, 3,804 snail power. Movie of the week! And this week, we take a Barb and Star-inspired look at one of the strangest movies of 2023. Please don't destroy the legend of Foggy Mountain!
Yes.
Okay, right off the bat, what are you thinking, Bunny, about this movie?
This was a lot of fun.
Okay, good.
This was a lot of fun. I'm sure I could probably get in there and pick at it somewhere, but it, okay. harmless and fun.
Yeah. I think it's
And I was kind of sold when I was getting ready for the show and I was downloading the trailer.
Yeah.
To cut into the announcement and shit. And I was like, oh, there's Conan. Okay, how bad can we go here?
It's pretty bad, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
The movie is, for lack of a better word, real fucking stupid. Like, big time. But it's a charming sort of stupid. It reminded me of, like, a Lonely Island film, like Hot Rod. It reminded me of Hot Rod. The story of stuntman Rod Kimball.
Yeah. I'm kind of cool thinking... Beans. I'm kind of thinking like a low budget Goonies.
That's a good way to describe it. A low budget Goonies.
With men who should have grown up by now, but yeah, really quite haven't.
Yeah. I also think that there are shades in this movie of what I think can safely be called one of our favorite movies on the Pope on Film podcast, the absolutely brilliant Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, which is just chef's kiss.
Oh, totally chef's kiss for that movie. But this just, I would not put them together on the video shelf. This is a different movie. I would put this next to The Goonies or Stand By Me or, you know, maybe The Sandlot, something like that.
Yeah, The Sandlot, Caligula, those sort of coming-of-age films.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Would that all of Rome had but one neck. I think that's from a deleted scene, but that's okay. Hey, Celeste the cat. Yeah, you're not getting a spinoff, okay? You're not taking part in Genie and Celeste's break time hijinks. That's an old reference. If you've been around for the whole decade, you would get that podcast reference. But anyway.
And I also think it's a drastically different style of humor than Barb and Star.
Yes. But I wanted to mention Barb and Star because holy fucking shit, I have breaking Barb and Star news, buddy.
Really?
Yes, I fucking do. I'm so excited. Let me pull it up. Okay. So what's the fucking guy's name? Jamie Dornan.
Yeah.
He's the Irish actor from, I believe he was nominated for an Oscar for Belfast. And he was Christian Grey in those fucking 50 Shades movies.
Yes.
And he was in Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Which really won me over from being in those, let's just say, other movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The ones that aren't Twilight.
Yeah. I saw the 50 Shades of Grey.
Bad. Huh?
I saw the 50 Shades of Grey movie, the first 50 Shades of Grey movie. I actually saw it.
We did it.
We did it?
We covered 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't remember that. I must have blocked it out. But Jamie Dornan was on Seth Meyers' Late Night Shoe. He was promoting some show he's in that's about to go into season 3. And she was asked about Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. Bro wants a sequel.
Yeah.
He has been fighting for one. And I have the entire quote of what he said on Seth Meyers. And this is what he said. I have had a couple of conversations with Kristen and Annie about doing more, you know, slightly unfortunate COVID-y timing with the release of that. And I do think it's found a really lovely audience who really genuinely love it. But because of the way it came out and the timing of it and not getting a cinematic release because of the cinemas being closed, it was just tough. And I feel like more people should know it. And if more people had seen it in the right way at the time, then there would probably, these would probably be easier conversations to be having about doing more, because you could do endless. I mean, they could, Barb and Star and Edgar could go anywhere, and I would go anywhere with those people. So I will keep knocking on the door and see if we can do a second one. It would be a great thing. I would love it.
Yeah. And you literally, you can literally drop them into just like any other movie, and there you go.
Yeah. And in fact, there was a period in time in the podcast where we were doing, like, no matter what movie that we are discussing, how much better would it be if Barb and Star were in it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now I am picturing a pirate movie, you know, a big, giant, beautiful pirate ship. And the captain comes out of his cabin and starts just spouting orders. And he really sounds mean and he really sounds tough. And then we pan down over the crew. And then we get to Barb and Star, and they're just standing there scaling fish, talking back and forth, and not listening to a fucking thing he's saying.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm down with that. Down with that. I'm absolutely down with that.
And then suddenly you would start yelling at them, and they'd be, what? Oh, no, you just go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, So if you haven't seen Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar, then go see it. It's fucking amazing.
You could drop them in space. You could drop them in the middle of a horror movie.
I would love to see them dropped in the middle of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. You just replace Rosencrantz and Guildenstern with Barb and Star.
Yeah.
Barb and Star Are Dead.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I just got a weird pop-up that said free virtual hug if you click here. What the fuck was that?
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely something not to click on.
Yeah. So ever since Barb and Star came out, I like to try and find the most Barb and Starian movie of the year. So in 2022, I would say, even though it's not the same type of movie, I would probably give that award to the quirky British robot comedy Brian and Charles.
Yeah.
Or possibly Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. And last year, I think the Barb and Star Award, the closest thing to Barb and Star, that award goes to Please Don't Destroy, The Legend of Foggy Mountain. I think this is cute. And I like the guys. I like the Please Don't Destroy guy.
If we're saying I could see under certain conditions.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do some stats on this week's movie.
Like a surprise comedy that is just really good. But other than that, no, I'm not getting very many Barb and Star. But there is never a wrong time to bring up Barb and Star.
There is never a wrong time to bring up Barb and Star. Go to Vista Del Mar. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. But let's get into some stats. Please Don't Destroy is a comedy troupe from New York. There's three of them. The three boys are Ben Marshall. He's the redhead. Then there's Martin Herlihy. He's the one with the glasses. And then there's John Higgins, the third one.
Okay.
So there's the redhead, the one with glasses, and the third one. They started a YouTube channel, then they started writing for SNL, and then they became full-fledged cast members, and they record their own segments on SNL a la The Lonely Island or Saturday TV Fun House, TV Fun House. two of the three boys are Nepo babies.
Okay. And okay. I caught that on one of the shorts that you sent.
I specifically sent it to you because of that. Martin, who is the one with the glasses, he is the son of legendary SNL writer Tim Herlihy.
Okay.
And then John Higgins, the third one, he's the son of actor and producer Steve Higgins, who is also the announcer for the Conan O'Brien show and the current announcer slash producer for Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show.
Okay.
Now, Ben, the redhead, he's not a Nepo baby. He's just a ginger. Poor thing. And I like
so
to
it
take
sounds,
that
So it sounds like they do a good job at acting as friends because, like, well, they're friends.
Yeah. They're friends.
You know, I mean, they're all running around the studios of New York, which is like basically just the one anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so like, sure, one of the writers from Saturday Night Live's kid would run into the announcer of the Conan O'Brien show kid. They're in the same fucking building.
Yeah, they both went to the same college, and it's some sort of like Tisch School of Acting or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's where they met each other and became friends. You know what? You know what this movie reminds me of? Please
what?
Don't destroy the treasure of Foggy Mountain. Fucking Mystery Team.
Mystery Team.
Mystery Team with a young Donald Glover. And it's like a bunch of kid detectives, but now they're older, but they still try and be kid detectives. I believe we covered it on the podcast.
No, that doesn't sound vaguely familiar.
Damn it. That's what this movie reminds me of. But anyway, I would like to take this time to say, fuck Saturday Night Live. I feel bad saying that because I've been a huge fan my entire life, but I'm just fucking sick and tired of Saturday Night Live. Used to be like edgy and leftist and fighting against the status quo, but now like, oh, special guest, Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Musical guest, racist country artist. And your host, Dave Chappelle. And it's like, fucking, I hate it when they do like, oh, here's a great guest. Oh, here's some sports guy I've never heard of. Ooh, here's an old cast member. I'm really excited. And here's the right winger that they're putting on SNL in order to get ratings. And that just pisses me off.
Yeah.
Plus, there's reports of, what's the guy? Lorne Michaels saying, hey, lay off of Trump.
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine. And like, oh, okay, well then fuck all of you.
Yeah.
But I still watch the Please Don't Destroy skits. I fucking love them. I love all of their skits.
Yeah. See, that, and that's the other thing. I mean, I went in cold. Jeannie and I went in cold. And did not know these guys had a background, and like the only one knew was Conan O'Brien. But again, Conan O'Brien did sell it for me.
Bowen Yang does a great job as the Midsommarian cult leader.
Yeah.
I liked him. They even have that like Midsommar like triangle sun archway that they walk through.
Yeah.
In Please Don't Destroy, and I really liked that. And Dustin from Stranger Things is killed.
Yeah.
So random that Dustin from Stranger Things appears in Act 3 of this movie as himself and then gets killed in a giant battle.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was just glad to see him. Because out of the Stranger Things cast, like, he is my favorite, and I also have him the least likely to succeed list.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, like, we've got to find a place for him somewhere.
We do.
I just don't know where.
Yeah. Hey, Q, what's the name of that fucking character from Stranger Things where it's like the older brother, but and he's a lifeguard and he's a piece of shit?
Oh, Steve.
Billy. No, Billy.
Oh, Billy.
I like Billy. I like Billy from Stranger Things. I think he would make a great rebooted Wolverine. Oh, he's racist? Oh, okay. Fuck him.
Okay.
Fuck him. You know who would be a great Wolverine in the X-Men reboot? Bowen Yang.
Who?
Just going to say it. Bowen Yang.
Yeah?
The gay Asian who plays the cult leader in Please Don't Destroy the Legend of Foggy Mountain. I'm just swinging for the rafters at this point. Bowen Yang would make a great... Bowen Yang...
I'd give it a chance. I mean, like... How far bad can this go?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't finished watching Echo. You know?
Oh, yeah. The last Marvel TV show I saw, like, I didn't see Miss Marvel. And
Miss Marvel was good.
I liked Moon Knight. I didn't see Echo. I didn't see Secret Invasion.
I also only got a couple of episodes into Secret Invasion.
Yeah,
Yeah.
But then, Madam Web comes
but
out.
But I did like She-Hulk. I need She-Hulk, to be clear about that.
I fucking loved She-Hulk. I loved She-Hulk. I thought that was adorable.
I don't know what people wanted out of that show for the kind of show it was. I mean, you know what this is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is fucking Night Court with a superhero. That's all this is.
Yeah.
So, yes, bring on all the goofy-ass side characters, you know?
Yeah,
I'm sorry
that.
They didn't have Stilt Man in there. But
yeah,
that's what the show was for.
I would have killed for Stilt Man.
Yeah.
Or D-Man. When is he going to show up?
Yeah.
In Marvel. I just can't believe that we've reached a point in superhero movies where everybody finally knows who Spider-Ham is.
Yes.
I'm so excited for that, you know? So,
those movies are the only fucking things keeping them hanging on at all.
Well, that's the thing.
Those
that's
are still genius.
Madam Web comes out and everyone says, oh, this spells disaster for Marvel. It's not really Marvel. Morbius
no.
isn't really Marvel. Madam Web isn't really Marvel. It's Marvel adjacent.
Yes.
You know, and I find that all of these Sony Marvel movies are good superhero movies if they were released around Blade 2 and Elektra.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it's those type of superhero movies. That, like, Madam Web would have done great if it was released at the same time as fucking Ghost Rider.
Yeah. No, I think Morbius was fucking horrible.
That was funny. I liked that movie.
But I also think it's not... Like, here's one where a fucking movie could be horrible and I can't blame the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think all of the COVID movies need to be given another shot, you know? But it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was cut to shit. And you know, it was supposed to have come out before Spider-Man 3. So
yeah.
It had a whole bunch of fucking references and shit like that. And then like, oh, no, it's going to come out after. And they had to go in there and recut shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's choppy. It's uneven. I hate Jared Leto.
The more Sony releases...
It was a horrible movie.
Yeah. But I will say this. The more that Sony releases these Spider-Man adjacent movies like Morbius and Madam Web and Kraven the Hunter's coming out this year.
Oh, God help me.
The more the New Mutants seems pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to watch Madame Web, Morbius, or New Mutants, I'd fucking watch New Mutants twice.
New Mutants is another one that deserves another COVID movie.
It does.
That deserves another go.
Yeah, that movie was all right. They swung for the fences. Hey, we're going to make a teen-centered X-Men horror film.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, yeah, go for it. I want a superhero musical.
Yeah.
When's that happening? A superhero musical.
Oh, that was the fake Steve Rogers musical.
Oh, yeah. That actually...
Hawkeye? Yeah.
Yeah, that actually... They actually performed that as an actual play at Disney's California Adventure
Theater. Oh, I am sure they did.
For like a month. They wrote the entire play and they performed it. And I tip my hat to them.
I could do this all day.
Yeah. Yeah. So somehow the Please Don't Destroy boys got a movie deal. This is a Paramount Plus movie. So not the world's biggest movie release of 2023.
No.
I don't know anyone who has Paramount Plus at all. I know of no one with this streaming service. I don't think it's real. I think it's all a tax dodge.
Paramount Plus is what you're going to be forced to take in your subscription package.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we got some free subscription package and it came with ESPN Plus, and it's like,
motherfucker.
Wait,
like, I can't get away from ESPN Plus.
Why do you think I want ESPN Plus? Is there cheap seats and or R-less on it? If not, then I don't care.
I mean, ESPN Plus was like the exact reason everybody started cutting the cord.
Yeah.
Like, why am I paying for all these fucking channels like ESPN Plus that I never watch?
Yeah.
ESPN Plus is like the Jason of media. No matter what you do, you cannot get away from ESPN Plus.
It's everywhere.
And even when you think you killed it, ESPN Plus will come back.
ESPN Plus takes Manhattan.
Yes.
ESPN Plus acts in Spain.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, I would just like to take this time to say that I rewatched Jason X recently.
Yes.
And they're looking at the frozen body of Jason, and it's like, what is this mask? Oh, it is a facial protection mask worn during hockey matches. What's hockey? Oh, that was a barbaric sport that was outlawed in 2024. So enjoy it while you can, Canada.
Yeah.
Because
we're coming for your hockey.
Wonderland is going bye-bye. So this movie has like a 6 out of 10 on IMDb. It has a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes. Basically, no one saw this movie, let alone liked it. But I thought it was cute. Would you like to hit us with the plot, Bunny?
Okay, so there is a group of friends, and they're really kind of similar to other groups of friends you've seen before. And they have been friends since childhood, where one of them was embarrassed in a magic show when his penis came out during a quick change trick.
Yeah. Yeah.
They grow up. They are in their mid-20s. They're basically losers, yeah. Coming into their next phase of life.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting married, they're taking over stores, things of this nature, or at least those are the goals.
Yeah.
Except for the one friend who's still really not doing anything with their life. Until he realizes, I've said a whole lot, man, and I really haven't gotten down to the plot. Bunch of kids go looking for local legend, the Misty Mountain, whatever the fuck the name of this movie.
Legend of Foggy Mountain.
The Legend of Foggy Mountain, right. The Legend of Foggy Mountain, which is a statue of Marie Antoinette in like gold bust. And jade and all kinds of shit like that. Very beautiful. And it has been a local legend forever. So they decide, hey guys, let's have one more adventure as friends and we'll go looking for this. And hey, we've had this compass all along, which tells us where to go. That is the plot of the movie, of them looking for this gold. And, well, hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
The eagle definitely gets a thumbs up.
I love the eagle. I absolutely love the eagle. One of my favorite. It's the Subaru broke down, so we had to shred.
Really?
I really like. What'd you say?
Were you eating a snow cone?
Nice. I love that line. That's a really good guess, actually. I love this movie, and I think it's really cute. So, I'm glad that you liked it. For some reason, like, I get worried sometimes when we watch certain movies where it's like, oh, shit, Bunny's gonna fucking hate Hell's Apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Is Bunny gonna hate Please Don't Destroy? I hope he likes it. Like, I want you to like the movies we're watching.
Yes.
However, next week, that all goes down the toilet.
Okay.
So that's it for this week's movie. Sorry, I'm texting someone.
Texting, you know, during the show.
Yeah, you know how difficult it is to text on a flip phone? It sucks.
No idea. Oh, that's where you have to press the same button like 3 times to get to an R or some shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember those days? Yeah, God, I hated that.
This is
I never did it. I hated it that much.
Yeah, yeah, it sucks. But, so that's it for this week's movie. Please Don't Destroy the... treasure, The Legend of Foggy Mountain. It's an adorable film. You should go find it. Next episode. Very excited. I can talk about my one-woman show, and I have a bunch of other things in the pipeline that I can talk about. I'm about to book a few more dates, and I'm really excited about that.
Good.
And I wanted to get back to the old days, to the old. We're watching a movie.
Okay.
It's another one of those retro drive-in horror movies that I like compile.
Okay. Oh.
It's on my old channel. Now, instead of Reverend Steve G, it's Reverend May Lin. But I put it up 2 hours ago. It's a movie called The Night of 1,000 Mexican Cats.
Okay. But you cut this like in the old days where with trailers and shit like that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. That is pretty retro.
I even put a cartoon before the movie. It's called Animal Soccer World, and I'd like to apologize in advance.
Okay. But what is the name of the movie?
Well, the name of the movie is Night of 1,000 Cats. But it's a horror movie from Mexico from the early 1970s. And so in order to, you know, make it copyright safe, I added Mexican to the title. So, and okay. I added a V to it. So we're watching a movie from 1972 called The Night of a Thousand Mexican Cats.
Okay.
Plus, there's a cartoon short before the movie, which you are not prepared for. But it's going to be a bunch of fun. There are previews. There's a cartoon before the movie. It's a movie about the original... The title that it went by in Mexico was actually called Blood Feast.
Okay.
But they couldn't, they could not call it that in America. So they gave it the title Night of a Thousand Cats. And now I've changed it to The Night of a Thousand Mexican Cats.
But just
I'm pretty
going
excited.
From a movie called Blood Feast to Night of a Thousand Cats is kind of intriguing in and of itself.
As far as I can tell, I haven't seen the movie. I have seen Animal Soccer World, the cartoon short before the film. And again, I apologize. But I am really sorry. You're not prepared for Animal Soccer World, but I have been waiting to talk about Animal Soccer World. And I'm so excited. So, as far as I can tell, Night of a Thousand Mexican Cats is a Spanish horror film about a serial killer who lures in women with his attractiveness. Like a, what was the name of the attractive serial killer? Bundy?
Ted Bundy.
Yes.
Ted Bundy? Yeah.
He was considered attractive. Well, they were kind of digging on Dahmer too.
Yeah. So he's like an attractive serial killer and he dates women, and then cuts off their heads and saves the heads in a jar and then feeds the remaining body parts to his 1,000 feral cats.
Okay.
I believe that's the premise. Again, I haven't seen it, so I'm going blind, you're going blind. I have seen the short that precedes the film. Called a cartoon called Animal Soccer World. And again, I apologize. This is Animal Soccer World makes the Rhapsody Street Kids Believe in Santa look like the Godfather.
Oh no.
You are not prepared for Animal Soccer World. It's fucking hilarious. But it's hilarious because it literally is one of the worst cartoons.
I'm having food fight flashbacks.
Yeah, so just you can search Reverend May Lin on YouTube, or you can search, the title of the video is called Full Movie, The Night of a Thousand Mexican Cats, 1972, plus a cartoon short. I just did it this morning and threw it together, and it's really awesome, and I think you're going to love it. Again, I apologize for the cartoon, but it is something we need to discuss.
Okay.
We don't do homework anymore, so this is how I have to add things like that. But that's next episode. That's next week. Actually, it's 2 weeks from now, but I like saying next week. But now that I look back at this week, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, Barb and Star, Dustin from Stranger Things, my huge, massive honkers, and we're coming up to the 10-year anniversary of this podcast.
Yes,
I gotta say, Bonnie, I think this has been a pretty darn good episode of the podcast.
This has been a damn good episode.
I feel the same way. But I didn't want to like step on your toes. I feel like you're the one who makes that distinction, not me. But yes, I concur with your assessment, good sir.
So until next week, I am Bunny Williams.
And I am Reverend May Lin. And on behalf of Q, Natasha, and the whole Hope on Film family, I would just like to say, thanks for listening, and we will see you next week, you godless heathens. Thank you, Q. I'm actually getting to end an episode. I'm really excited about that. And now that I have so much time before the show ends, I'd like to tell you a humorous story about a bridge. One day, the Michelson twins decided to get on their BMX bikes and take a trip down to the local creek to see if they could get into some fun hijinks. Well, of course, round about that time, old molesting